you into something great. The reason you're going through what you're going through in your life right now is just something big is about to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, something big is about to happen. Now, some of y'all worry all day. I'm not talking about something big in a bad way. You say, Lord, I knew something. No, I'm talking about something big in a good way. God's about to do something great in your life. Last week, I talked about necessary endings. This week, I'm going to talk about necessary changes. Jesus said this in John 15, 1 and 2. I think it's the New American Standard Version, if you may read different than yours. He said, I am the true vine. Now, they lived in an agricultural time where they had big vineyards, where they grew grapes, and some of you would love what they did with it. You know, after the grapes, you know what they did with the grapes, right? They went through a fermentation process, and then it ended up on your kitchen table. So some of you like that process. So I thought I'd get a couple brownie points right there. But he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, watch this. He said, if it's not bearing fruit, he takes it away. And he said, every branch that bears fruit, he leaves it alone. No. He said, it prunes it. He messes with it. He cuts it. He prunes it so that it bears more fruit. Somebody say more fruit. Here's what happened. At the age of 16, I grew up in church. Anybody grow up in church?
Yeah.
You at church a bunch. You just at church a lot. You didn't grow up in church. You just drove by them. Anybody not have a church background? You have something. They have no church background. They just drove by them and knew that's what they did. Some of you halfway were in church. I grew up in church, and so we had revivals, so I would get saved every revival because they showed a picture of hell, or I got so excited, and I threw away all my R&B, Eazy-E, NWA, Jodeci. I threw away all my mixtapes because we couldn't afford the tapes, so I had a cousin who would record different songs on the tape player for me. I don't know, y'all probably never had that, and so I would get saved and throw my tapes away and wish I had them back about a week later, but I got saved for real,
yes, sir.
At the age of 16. I didn't get saved necessarily in church. I gave my, you know, several times, but with the time I really meant it, I was at an apartment complex shooting basketball, and God got a hold of me. And I repented of all my sins, and I told God I would serve him. That's the age of 16. At the age of 18, my second semester of college, I accepted my call into ministry. Man, it was my time to really kick it. Nobody was up there. I didn't know anybody on campus, and God stopped messing with me. And at the age of 18, I said yes to God. But y'all, something happened to me at the age of 24. It made all the sermons, my lessons my parents taught me, particularly my daddy, make sense. Every sermon I was hearing made sense. All the life lessons people would give you. And let me tell you something. People pull you to the side and want to give you some life wisdom. Y'all, I fooled around and fell in love at 24 years old. I met Barbara. And I did. And, yeah, thank you, Phil. And the first night, we talked on the phone for 3 hours, and I wasn't a big phone person. Something happened inside of me, y'all. Usher was out back then. You know, you got it bad. You hang up on the phone and you call right back. A day without your friend or something, your life's all off track. You know, you got it bad. I had it bad, but I didn't want her to know I had it bad. You know, you still got to play hard. But stuff start changing. Stuff start ending inside of me. My single season started ending. I was 24, and it was the year 2000. I had a 1998 BMW, so I parked up front everywhere I went. I went from the Honda Accord like it had a stroke because it leaned to the side. My radio didn't work, and I had to beat on the dashboard, and I parked way in the back when I had that. But when I had the BMW, I parked up front, and I walked in buildings slow because I wanted to see who was in there. And I wanted him to see me. But when I met Barbara, I fell out of love with being sexy for the crowd. And I started thinking about different stuff. I started thinking about my credit score. I started thinking about them credit cards that I had amassed. I started thinking about where's my career going to go. And something started ending outside of me because something started ending in me. Oh, folks, they said something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. I wasn't speaking in tongues. I just fell in love. Something happens when you fall in love with something. You start to end some things. But that's just stage one. Last week, necessary endings was about becoming good. I thought I was a good guy. I was. I was a good man, but I wasn't a good husband. It took me 3 years. I knew probably the first night we talked that I'd marry her, but it took me 3 years to do it. Because there were some things I wanted together in my life. I wanted to have my job in place. We had a townhouse in place. I wanted all these things in place in order to be able to walk into an ideal setting. But I was stuck in between that good and great. Necessary endings is about becoming good. Necessary changes is about becoming great. Because there is some good stuff in you that's fine. But God wants to push you to another level because greatness is on the inside of you. And hear me when I say this. It's very easy to get stuck between good and great. There are a lot of good athletes. There are a lot of good people in relationship. There are a lot of good people financially. But greatness is what you want to do. God never created anything just to be good. He wants everything to be great and operating at its full potential. So I'm going to show you how to shift from being just good to great. So we're going to make some necessary changes. Is that all right in here? Let's talk first. He said, Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser and you are the branches. Let's talk about the pruner. The pruner is the vine dresser. Let's first talk about who are our pruners. Our pruners, number one, is God. He is the ultimate one, is in control of our life. You should have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit works inside of your life. The other pruners are your parents. Anybody in here still live in a house with your parents? Yeah. If you do, that's one. And if anybody's parents still alive, your parents still are playing a role in your life, thank God for them. Matter of fact, just call them, text them, tell them how much you love them. It is great to have, because here's the thing about your parents. They'll love you, but they tell you the truth at the same time. They'll hug you and undercut you at the same time, like, oh, did they just tell me off? Because they got that right to do it. Your spouse is a pruner in your life. If they know the direction you're supposed to be going in, and you guys are together, your spouse, your friends, thank God for people who love you enough to tell you the truth. So your pruners are God, and God through people, and everybody needs somebody to push them to the next level. People say all the time, I don't need nobody but Jesus. How's that working for you? It's not. You need people in your life. Let me give you some characteristics of the pruners that you should have in your life so you'll see, all right, if you're being led in the right direction. Number one, a pruner knows the difference between, they know what's healthy and a growing vine should look like. Every pruner is growing you towards something. You guys may not even realize this, but if you sit in this church, I'm trying to grow you in a direction. I love to shout. I love to praise God, but I want you to learn something. I want what I'm preaching to stick with you Monday through Saturday, and you come in here. I'm looking for people who have a life's purpose and said, listen, I need to make sense out of life. I'm growing you in direction. I want you to live as good as you shout. I want you to live as good as you praise God. Some of you don't shout, you don't praise God. I still want you to have a great life. So I'm trying to grow you in the direction that God wants you to be. A good pruner knows the direction you should be going in and not putting you in the direction they think you should go in. The next thing is a good pruner is this. They know how to dream and accurately define reality at the same time. Some people dream and lose sight of reality, and some people have so much sight of reality that they don't dream. You need a person who can do both. I got a gift of making random friends. So I was at this church conference, and I was dreaming. But I sat beside this pastor, and when I was sitting beside the pastor, he started having, like, little comments about everything that was going on. We were at this man's conference. He's telling us how to grow a healthy church, healthy staff, all this stuff like that. And the guy kept picking him apart. I wouldn't have said that. I would have did this different. You know how somebody sit beside you and they won't shut up? And you want them to be quiet, and you're praying, Jesus. I mean, you can't stab them with a pen or like that. Just like, Lord, give them the gift of silence for 30 minutes and let them talk all they want to when they get finished. He just would not shut up. And finally, at a break, he began to tell me, and I asked him about his church, and I saw how he interacted with his staff, a long story short, and he kept making these comments. And you know how you get so mad, you just say the first thing on your mind? I said, hey, we're here to listen to him. He ain't here to listen to us. And if all your ideas were working, why are you sitting beside me and why are you not on the stage? He was bright skinned like me. I know it was tough. Bright skinned like me, turned red, walked off. I didn't see him for the rest of the thing. Here's the reality. You got to have a good grasp of reality and your dream. If you are not living in your dream and you're stuck in your reality, you need something to push you to the next place in life. But you can't be so stubborn because you're good and you're not great that you don't let somebody push you to the next level. That makes sense in here? All of us need to push and put your neighbor and say, there's greatness in you. Tell them, I know you're good, but greatness is in you. Here's what the good pruners do. They know how to pull out your potential and weed out hindrances to growth. They know how to grow things, not just point out problems. Lord, we got a society that's good at pointing out problems. They can tell you everything that's wrong with everybody, their marriage, their kids. But do you know how to fix something? You do me no good. If I go to the doctor and he cuts me open, yep, you got a bad liver. You gonna do anything about it? No, it's just bad. We have a society full of people who know how to point out problems, but can you solve something? Pruners know how to solve things and grow things. The next thing is this about a pruner knows the value, they value growth over your emotions without being cold and mean-spirited. Here's the thing about God. He don't care if you throw a temper tantrum because he tells you no. A good pruner will go through your emotions because some of us know you can cut up when things don't go your way. Look straight ahead at me. Y'all know you can go a week, you can go some time without talking and things don't go your way. A good pruner says this, I'm going to endure your temper tantrum because I know what I'm going to in the long run. I know what I'm growing you towards. So I'm not trying to be a jerk with it, but no, this is no right now, not no forever, and this is what we're going to have in the long run. Does that make sense here? You'll thank yourself later. What is the purpose of pruning? What is the purpose of pruning? Pruning is this. It's cutting away so that you can produce fruit in abundance in your life. Jesus was speaking to an agricultural system. They had vineyards everywhere. And what Jesus was saying is this. The natural tendency of a vineyard is for them to grow more leaves than they do grapes. And though it looks great on the outside, there is no fruit there. He was exposing our tendency as human beings. We have this tendency to look good and not be good. You can look all across this room right now, and we all look great, husbands and wives, and we look phenomenal. You have no idea the husbands and wives that ain't spoke in a month. You have no idea the kids, and they sitting there, oh, they got such great kids. Them kids ate glue before they got here. They took magic marker and colored on a couch, and we all look great in here. Now, I'm not saying you share the world with your business, because here's the reality is, if Barbara and I argued on the way here, you would never know. Because what goes home stays at home unless it gets unhealthy. We got to bring somebody in. But we got to deal with stuff behind the scenes so our life is as good as it looks. I say this all the time. I love putting pictures on Facebook, but I want my life to look as pretty as that family portrait. That makes sense here? I want to be good as I look. But the natural tendency is to have more leaves than fruit. So what the vine dresser does, he cuts away the leaves so the sun can get to it. Are there areas of your life that the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, can't get to? And if there's an area of your life that the sun can't get to, the vine dresser cuts it. Because the plant could only grow if the S-U-N could get to it. You'll only grow when the S-O-N can get to you. Oh, and when Jesus gets a hold of you. Just like when I fell in love, some stuff started changing. You ain't got to fuss all day long. When God gets a hold of your heart. Lord, I lived it out one day of my life. You know, can I testify for a moment? Can I testify for a moment? I was, thank you. I know Mother Homer would tell me. Oh, yeah, I was. You know what led up to me really giving my heart to the Lord? I really cared what people thought about me, and I was in a revival, and I was sitting there with all my friends in the back then. I was slumped down trying to be cool, and the preacher made a call. He said, how many of y'all want more of God? And we had tarrying service and be filled for the Holy Spirit. Something in me said, I want it. I knew there was something I wanted because I was tired of questioning myself. I was tired of just comparing myself to everybody, and I wanted more of God. And I snuck up in the end, and I got behind everybody. I said, Jesus, I need you to touch me. Lord, y'all, everybody left the offering, but my knees locked. And I said, oh, Lord, not right here, not in front of everybody, because all my buddies were back there looking at me. And the next thing I know, tears were coming down my eyes. I said, Jesus, right here in front of everybody. And I start jumping up and down. And I felt the joy of the Lord running through me. Next thing I know, my hands are up. And I was thinking the whole time, they're going to clown me when I get back to school. I know he's going to be jumping as soon as I walk in the gym. Can I tell you what? It was the exact opposite. The same dudes that I thought were going to clown me, one of them dapped me up and said, I'm glad to see you finally living out what God called you to do. When God gets a hold of you, you could care less what people think about you. And when you want to praise God, you'll lift your hands and say, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Y'all watch out. I done ran out of breath up here. So what God does is he gets a hold of you. And you're less worried about your image and you're more about your fruit. You're less worried about your preference and you're more worried about God. There's something great inside of me. And after that is when I surrendered my heart to the Lord. Some of you, God's working on you right now. You got all kind of stuff going on. Your knee won't even sit still. And you're trying to hold your knee down. You got all kind of stuff going on inside of you because God is calling your name to greatness. So as a result, God says, listen, I don't want your life just to look good. I want it to be good. I don't want you to be busy. I want you to be productive. I don't want you sounding good and looking good. I want your life to be beautiful. God wants great things to come out of your life. Now, here's the warning. If necessary, God will risk you misunderstanding his methods and his motives because he wants to cut away immature parts of your life so that you produce much fruit. Here's what I want to show you. Here's how you make the adjustment. In order to be pruned, you got to have the right attitude. The wrong attitude to pruning is this: your struggle. If you don't like to be told no and given direction, if you hate to hear the word no and you hate for people to tell you what to do, you're going to struggle with pruning. If you don't respond well, if things don't go your way, and you got this long recovery period. Some of you know what I'm talking about when things don't go your way. You shut down for a week, a couple days, or a month. Pruning won't go so well for you. If you take pruning personal instead of it purposefully, you'll struggle with pruning. If you're sensitive and offended when you're challenged, you will struggle with pruning. If you value personal creativity and expression over accomplishing a vision, you're going to struggle with pruning. And I'm all about personal creativity, but within boundaries. Here's the right attitude about pruning. You got to be coachable. You may know what to do, but coaching tells you how to do it. If you hired somebody to paint your house and you heard they were the best painter this side of the Mississippi, and they came in your house, didn't listen to you one bit, and painted, and you walked in and said, "What in the world is this? It looks good, but it's not what I wanted." You would fire them even though they thought they did a good job. Coachable says, "What is my assignment?" The first thing I need you to ask when you go anywhere, what am I assigned to do so God can work on me? The next thing is this: I got to value growth in the right direction. We live in an information age, and people are searching for truth. But here is the problem. When information gets in the hand of the wrong pruner, people are misguided. People are misguided with church, and people are leaving the Christian church left and right because they're being misguided by certain things. They've seen certain failings and certain fallings. But I want to tell you guys, the Bible is still right. The local church is still one of the greatest places to be. It's a great pruning ground. Jesus Christ is real. He's the Son of God. He can change your life. I don't care what anybody says. And the person with experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. Ask me how I know. He changed my life. Is there anybody here that said you had an encounter with Jesus and he changed your life forever? So I got to value growth in the right direction. Here's what it looks like. I get information to grow. We cook steak at our house, and I love steak. I love grilling, and we've been doing it since Isaiah was young. If you ask Isaiah where he wants to go eat now, he'll tell you two things: Maggiano's and Longhorns. The problem is he don't have no job, and the outlaw ribeye is about $24.95. He don't want the little kid steak. So I'll grill steak at home, and Isaiah would eat it, and he's been eating it since he's been about 4 years old. But I noticed something. I'm trying to gross you out. When we first start cooking steak, I noticed that Isaiah would eat it, but there would be a plate full of chewed up food. I said, "What in the world are you doing?" He liked the taste of it, but he couldn't digest it. I'm afraid that that is what can happen with church. We like the taste of this good stuff. We like the taste of the gospel. We like the taste of faith. But when you really digest it, you taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not enough to read a book, but let the book change you. It's not enough to sing a song, but let that song get in your heart. Let that song get in your spirit. It's not enough just to get it and you leave it here on Sunday and chew on it. No, take that thing home with you, because it will change the way you walk. It will change the way you talk. And you'll be like the old folks: "Things I used to do, I don't do no more." Why? Because something on the inside is working on the outside. Oh, what a change. Y'all say amen to me or something. So it's not enough to have information. You got to let that stuff change you. The other right attitude is this: you got to love a challenge. I'm a competitor by nature. That's why I don't hoop no more. Because I done lost about 2 or 3 steps. I'm going to foul you and we're going to end up fighting. Because my mind go faster than my body, and I ain't going to fight you. I got too much to lose sitting here fighting you. But I don't like to lose. When you have that competitive nature, when God is pruning you, don't quit. Step up to the challenge. You got to ask yourself this: why is God challenging me to let go of certain things? You got to find someone 2 and 3 steps ahead of you and say, when you were at this stage of your career and you had young kids, what did you have to cut out of your life? When you were here in your life and you were trying to go from being single to now being in a relationship, what are some stuff you pruned? That's the right attitude, because I'm up for the challenge and I'm not going to quit at any moment. The next thing is this, and this is big. When God is pruning you, you got to know the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation has you sitting in church right now. Some of you, it took everything you could to come in here, because this preacher going to tell me how bad I am. I know everything I'm doing is wrong. That's condemnation. It tears you down. Conviction makes you better. Conviction is what God uses to prune you, to say, listen, if you give up this, I got this for you. If you stop doing this, I got this for you. Some of you, somebody in your heart right now, and you're struggling with an old relationship, and you keep going back and forth. They keep texting, and you keep coming back, and you watch a movie, and some nostalgic moment hits you, and you remember this time, and you know God is through with it. You know that's not what God has for you. I guarantee you this, there's nothing that you don't give up that God won't replace with greater. It's not that you're better than them. It's not that they're better than you. Some stuff just don't fit. You move on and you grow in certain seasons of your life. And I want to challenge you, if God is convicting you to move forward, let it go. Yes. Let it go. Oh, yeah. That makes sense here? What was that? What was that song? What was that old kids movie? Frozen. Well, I got tired of hearing that song. And I'm hating myself for saying it right now. But look at your neighbor and say, let it go. I'm going to hate myself later because I'm going to be singing that song in my head. I'm through. The last thing is this. To prune your life, you got to make necessary changes to allow yourself to be cut. Look at your neighbor and say, when was the last time somebody cut you? I ain't talking about no blade or no. Some of y'all ladies don't play. You got a razor in your mouth right now. I wish somebody would. I'm talking about somebody who spoke the truth to you. Somebody who challenged you. When people challenge you, you go to another place in life. I want you to challenge yourself and ask yourself this. What if I'm wrong? What if there's another way of doing things? What if there's more than what I know? I've been so wrong and shut down in many parts of my life. It took me to college to eat cheesecake. It didn't make sense to me. Cheese and cake don't go together. Cake is, I had this prune cake on Thanksgiving. I had a strawberry cake. I had a caramel cake. I had lemon cake. Boy, I feel like Bubba Gump. They got all German chocolate cake. They got coconut cake. They got the bundt cake. They got all kind of cakes. Cheese didn't go with cake. Cheese went with fried bologna that you cut and you slit it three times so the little bubble wouldn't pop up in the middle. Cheese went with a cheeseburger. Cheese went with pizza. Cheese went on top of my spaghetti. Cheese was just, the macaroni just sit there and lay in the cheese. That's what cheese was for. Oh, until I discovered cheesecake. I went to Friday's one night, and as old, my heart wasn't right, and something got a hold of me. I got a hold of a praline pecan cheesecake. Oh, Lord. And it had caramel just swimming on the bottom of the crust. Somebody took graham cracker and butter, and they ground it, oh, Lord, together. And they just let it sit there. Somebody say, sit there. And they sit there for a moment, and somebody put it in the oven. And they took that cheesecake and let it just sit on top. And all the amalgamation of all the ingredients and all the things started working together for my, at some point. And that cheesecake came together. And in my mind, it said cheese and cake can go together. And what God is doing, he's trying to grow you to a place. I had to catch my breath. He's trying to grow you to a place that there's more than what you know, but most of us don't grow until we cut, until we stretch, until somebody tells us the truth. Y'all may not want to do this, but can you do me a favor? Write this down. Ask somebody who loves you and tell them this. Ask them this. What do I need to hear that people are afraid to tell me? Just run when you tell them. Because you're going to want to box them in the mouth when they get finished. But it's faithful are the wound. What do I need to hear that people are afraid to tell me? When you make that change, I'm serious, your life will grow. The next thing is this. You got to make the necessary changes to produce more. With God, less is more. God prunes you so you can produce more. People often say God guides what he provides. I often found out that God guides by what he prunes. If God prunes some things out of your life, some of you are so stressed out right now. You're stretched on every corner. You're trying to please everybody. You're trying to do everything, and you can't be everything to everybody. I know you think you're Superman and you're Superwoman, but you need to chill out and figure out what you're supposed to be doing in this season. Because there's a season where you don't do. There's a season where you got to receive and let God pour into you. That makes sense? And some of you are running on empty and you can't give what you don't have. And you're trying to love people and you're full of hate. You're full of bitterness and you're trying to serve people. But there's nothing good in you. And God wants to fill you up. The next thing is this. You got to make the necessary changes to accomplish your mission. Do you really believe that God wants to bless your life? If you believe that, you can't be afraid to lean into the pain and make hard decisions. I'm telling you what God's telling me. There are so many things that we do because we're comfortable with that God said, I need you to lean into the pain. I need you to lean into the short-term pain. Make the decision that I'm telling you, because when you do it, it will be worth it. You have no idea what's on the other side of the commitment that God wants you to make. You have no idea what's on the other side of the cut that God wants you to make. When you make that change, you begin to grow and miraculous things start to happen in your life. I tell the story of a guy I knew. He had a church. It was a tremendous church. And they had the church where they did the announcements. And they had a lady who had done announcements for 40-something years. But at the end of her career, she couldn't halfway read, and it took forever to read the announcements. She'd read the same announcements. And they said, we got to do something about Mother. He said, no, we can't set Mother down. If we set Mother down, Mother going to have a fit. That Mother might just go on and be to heaven, you know, after we do this. Oh, we can't do this. She's been doing it forever. And they finally had to stop Mother from doing the announcements. Mother was mad at him for a while. She took all the keys she had and hid them. She had keys to everything in the church. She'd been there for a while. And they start putting up announcements. Guess what started to happen? Things started to grow and things started to progress. Sometimes it's not malicious, but when you save some feelings, you hurt everybody's feelings. That's a hard statement I just made, I know. Short-term pain causes grief in the moment, but you got to say, is it worth it in the long run? It wasn't about hurting Mother, because Mother meant well. She loved that church. But sometimes your season is up doing certain things. I guarantee y'all this. I ain't going to be 80 up here doing this. I'm not. When my season is up and God said, you through, Pastor, and we're going to find somebody else and we're going to put them up here and they're going to lead us to the next level. You got to know when your season is up for doing things or when it's time to do something else. The enemy of the great things in your life is the good things you're doing right now. And what's the good thing you won't let go of to trade it for the great thing in your life? Step into the pain. The next thing is this. You got to make the necessary changes to your mindset. You got to allow the pruners in your life to change things that are hindering your growth. I went to a church when I lived in Philadelphia. It was a humongous building. And I had this thing about mega churches in my head. I said, mega churches, they don't love people. You can't touch the pastor. You can't do this. You don't know people. Y'all don't know everybody in here right now. It ain't like 3-4 of us. You know the people that you know. And I'm thinking, you know, when you lose that feel. My mind was changed when I got to talk to the pastor because I told him how I felt. He said, He said, what I'm going to challenge you with. He said, can you name 5 people who aren't saved and don't go to church? I said, absolutely. He said, what if all 5 of them came to church? They gave their heart to God and start coming. And those 5 invited 5 more. And you had a bunch of people at your church did the same thing. He said, do you know what you'd have? I said, what? A mega church. Not because you're trying to be grand, but because you're trying to save souls. I want to challenge y'all in here. BFF is going to be big. Right. Not because we don't get scared. Not because we're trying to be all over the place, but because we're after souls. And I want to change your mindset. All of y'all in here know at least 3 people who don't go to anybody's church, who are seeking for purpose, who want meaning in life. Invite them. They're going to come and they're going to love it. They're going to invite somebody else. And the next thing you're going to know, you're not going to know half the people in here. And y'all going to be wondering, I don't know anybody. You know what I'm going to say? Go in to introduce yourself. Meet you a new friend, because we're going to start growing and expanding. You got to change your mindset. I'm through. But I want to close you with this. I went to a wonderful concert last night. Fantasia sung me into an oblivion. She didn't sing my song, though. If you don't want me, then don't talk to me. I don't even know why I like that song. But boy, Fantasia said something that blessed my life. I was in my seat like this. She said, everything that happened to you is necessary. It may not have been good to you, but it was good for you. All the hurt, all the pain, all the grief, it was necessary. Yeah. It made you into who you are right now. So since it was necessary, you need to let go of the hurt. You need to let go of the grudges. You need to let go of the anger. Let it, Lord Jesus, I'm going to hate myself. Let it go. Embrace this moment. It made you who you are. Because God's using it to grow something phenomenal. You're not going to be bitter. You're going to be better. So make the necessary end. God, I feel that for somebody in here. Make the necessary change. Touch your neighbor and say, it's necessary. I'm getting ready to go. Stand to your feet all over the building. Find five people and tell them it's necessary. Tell them it was necessary. Find somebody, tell them it was necessary. Tell them it was, encourage somebody. Tears in your eyes. It was necessary. You struggling with stuff in your mind, but it was necessary. It made you who you are right now. Bow your head all over the building. I want to pray. God's trying to shift you from good to great. And there are many of you in this room that sense, I'm good, but there's more in me. I want to challenge you, don't fight the process. Let God simplify your life. Let him change your mindset. If you know that, man, I've had a good career to this point. I've had a good marriage, but there's more. I know there's more to me as an athlete. There's more to me as a student. There's more to me in my marriage. There's more to me as a parent. There's more I want to see come out of you. I want God to give you such creative ideas that you trade good for great this morning. If you're in that season of your life and you say, I sense God shifting me from good to great, and I want to say yes to the process. I want to tell God, do whatever you want to do in me. I want you to slip your hands up all over the building. I want to connect with your faith. I'm ready to shift. I'm ready to shift. I'm ready to shift. Listen, we got some time. I want to connect with your faith. Listen, if you don't mind, I want to pray over you. Just as a simple step of faith, I want you to come to the altar if you slipped your hands up. If you don't mind, I want you to come from wherever you are all over the building. I want to pray with you this morning. You say, I want to be shifted to another level. Listen, this is your defining moment in life. This ain't about nobody else. It's about you and God. It's going to be tight, but it's all right. There's more to my career. There's more to what I have going on. God, I'll say yes to this uncomfortable moment because there's more that I don't know. Help me to embrace the people in my life that are helping molding this process. There's greatness in you. And eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard the things that God has in store for you. If you don't mind, if the altar, just slip your hands up. God has seen your frustration. And your frustration is not a person, it's not a job, it's not a system. It's something God's growing in you. Because before he ever changes anything outside of you, he always changes you. So God, hear us our prayer this morning. I don't want to be good. I want to be great. Mold me. Shape me. Whatever you got to simplify. God, I trust you. I trust whatever you're doing. You're not going to leave me embarrassed. You're not going to leave me ashamed. You're going to do phenomenal and great things in my life. So God, put me in a position to receive. God, prune me. I say yes to you. I say yes to your will. I'll say yes to your way. God, do it in me in this season. Shift me into greatness beyond what I ever imagined in the name of Jesus. I pray over every person at this altar. You've been at this place long enough. You're good, but greatness is in you. And God's going to do what he's been doing already. He's pruning some things out of you. It's not that you're wrong. It's not that you don't know what you're doing. There's more in you. And God's making room for greater. So God, we say yes to your plan. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. And Father, we surrender in this moment. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to talk with God. In this moment of faith, I want you to have a conversation with God about where you are. Matter of fact, all over this building, be honest with God. Talk to him about where you are, your frustrations, the things that you see, your battle between your dream and reality. Ask him to show you the pruners he put in your life, the people that you need to pull closer to, the questions you need to ask. Talk to God right now. Come on, have your conversation with God now. God is here. It's closer than what you ever imagined. What if you are your holdup? What if God's waiting on you? What if God just wants you to say, yes, I'll receive what you're doing in my life, God. God, we surrender everything to you right now. Have your way in us. Do something incredible. If you got to cut out habits and ways that are pleasing in your sight, as we fall in love with you, we say yes. Our purpose is not a death sentence. It opens us up to life. And Father, I pray incredible things over every person at this altar. Your life has just shifted. You have gone from good to great, and everything in this place, get ready. Get ready. Because whenever God starts to cut away, growth is about to happen. Things are about to shift and change in your life. So I want your expectation to get up. I want you to get your buckets out. I want you to get ready for God's growth in the name of Jesus. God spoke this to me in the first service, and I'm going to speak it over you. You're about to enter into a season of unprecedented growth. Growth like you never imagined. Our church corporately is about to experience it. You're about to experience it in your life. You need to get ready for what God is about to do. If you don't know how to handle finances, you better get you a financial advisor. If you don't know how to handle influence, you better ground yourself so that you can handle the trust that God is about to give you. Because things are about to grow, and don't you be surprised when the blessing knocks on your door. Great things are about to happen, and your frustration is about to make sense. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, we bless you and we thank you now. As you go back to your seat, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to find three people and tell them this.